Thank you, Jesus. Just before you take your seats, Amy Lou, if you could just come back. Thank you, Jesus. Carry on playing, please, Janita. Thank you, Jesus. Where is Amy Lou? Really quickly. Thank you, Jesus. While we're standing, we're going to pray. Just put your hand on your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I humble myself before you. And Father, I pray that your word would go forth today. Father, I pray that you would speak to every single one of us. Lord, let your word penetrate. And Lord, whatever the obstacles that are holding us back, may they be revealed and may we be set free this morning. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that the Spirit of truth would speak today to each one of us. Speak today into the depths of our innermost being, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Just stay on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just reach out your hands towards Amy Lou. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as you started to sing this morning, I mean, the sound of the anointing and authority on your voice just broke something. And I heard the Lord say that there will be no lid that can be placed over your ministry, Amy Lou. And on the inside, you've had so many questions. And you felt like you're facing many different places where you're going to have decisions to make and choices to make. And you've been concerned and saying, I want to make this choice right. I want to go in this direction right. I want to make sure I don't veer off here. But the Lord says there is one thing and one thing only. Because if you will guard your heart, everything else shall come to pass. And the Lord says, daughter, guard your heart and hold this word close to your heart. That if you guard your heart and your heart alone will determine the course of your life. And no man will be able to stand before you. No weapon of the enemy will be able to take you to the right or to the left or divert you or delay you. Only, my daughter, says the Lord, guard your heart. Guard your heart. For from it, every hope and desire will be assured. And Father God, what you've put on me, Lord, that grace that you've given me, that anointing, that fire that you've put in my belly, Father, the strength that enables me to continue when I would want to give up. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I release that into Amy Lou's life. Lord, what you've given me, I give to her in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is amazing. I'm going to start by just reading a verse, 2 Samuel 2, chapter 4. 2 Samuel 2, chapter 4. And this is a monumental verse in the life of David. And it says, then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David, king over the house of Judah. You know, God has a destiny for every single one of us. He has a plan and a purpose. I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again, because if we don't grasp this, we will settle for less. But God did not make any mediocre people. He didn't make anyone just to fill up planet Earth. He didn't make anyone with kind of a second best kind of call on their life. He didn't dream you up before the foundation of the world for you to get by. You see, you and I are made in the image of who? God. God is great. God is the greatest. And you and I are made in his image. And he has an extraordinary plan for your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has an amazing plan for you. And I want you to really grasp that today. And this verse is like the beginning of the rest of David's life. How many of you, there's been something that, there's been times in your lives when you've been believing and believing and then you see something come to pass. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you're like, wow, we're on the brink of something good. Amen. How many of you feel right now in your life you're on the brink of something good? Wave at me. Hallelujah. And you see, for probably about, we don't know the exact chronology, but for something like 15 years, David had been waiting and believing. He got given a prophetic word by the prophet Samuel that he was going to be king of Israel. And he'd been waiting all that time. In the way, he had ups and downs. Amen. Your downs do not mean that you are not destined for greatness. Are you hearing me? The downs don't mean that you're not going to fulfill your purpose. You see, if we can handle downs in the right way, they are the making of us. No one grows on the mountaintop, not really. We grow by the way that we handle the valleys. So David has his ups, conquering Goliath, chopping his head off. Not bad. In front of all those people. He led armies into battle. But he had his downs. Suddenly the man that he'd called father, King Saul. You know, his own dad, the Bible said, had forsaken him. He found a new dad in King Saul. Called him father. And then suddenly the very man that he was loyally serving, whom he had called father, turns on him. And for 10 long years, David was on the run from this man that he still loved. The day he died, David mourned because he never stopped loving this man that believed in him. So David had his ups, he had his downs, but then a day came. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then a day came, and it was after Saul's death, and the men of Judah came to David and they anointed this man as king of Judah. You see, what God does on the way to the fulfillment of the big picture is he gives us little picture victories. And the little picture victories are supposed to do a number of things. Whet your appetite just enough that you will keep pressing on, pressing on. Amen. They're supposed to encourage us that we're on the right track. And this is just what happened to David. You know, he gathers together the men of Judah, anoint him, and now David really, really, really is king. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a really, really, really moment. In other words, it's real. You know, for so long we're believing and believing and believing that when it's real, sometimes it's like, whoa, is this real? But there's a real moment when you see the manifestation of the promises of God in your life. And that was David. Hallelujah. I just want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Because it says something. And I've never seen this scripture as a principle before. But I believe it is. Why don't we read this together? For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Wow. You see, this great and effective door of opportunity opened to David. I want to tell you that, you know, God is working on your behalf to bring about his promises to pass in your life. He is doing everything that heaven can do to back you up. But there are adversaries. You know, I remember one of the things that the Lord impressed on my heart many years ago is that I have to be more determined than the devil. How many of you, you're willing? I'm going to be more determined than the devil. You see, unless we're more determined than the devil. Do you know, I heard Joyce Meyer say something recently and I can't get away from it. She said that in her opinion, about 90 to 95% of Christians never fulfill their destiny. How are you going to make sure you're one of the ones that does? How are you going to make sure that you are one of those that possesses every promise pertaining to you? Amen? Because you see, that's God's plan for you. That you have it all. That you grow, that you conquer, that you have the victory in the areas where God's called you to. You see, David was in this place where this amazing door opened to him called Judah. But let me tell you a few things about Judah. You see, Judah represented 1/12 of the promise of God over this man. 1/12. Not even 10%. Judah represented a fraction of what God had called David to do. And I want to just speak to you for a moment. Because I know there are many of you here right now and you feel like you've come into a fraction of what God has for you. You know that there's a call on your life in the area of business. And you've seen a little bit of the favor of God. And there's been signs and there's been evidences. But you've come into 1/12 of what God has for you. Others, you know that the Lord has a ministry call on your life in one way or another. And you're pressing in. But when you look and you look at where you're at right now, you know on the inside that you have just stepped in. And there's not much more happening. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, what I want us to look at this morning is how we make sure that we go from Judah, reigning Judah, to reigning Israel. Are you hearing me? How we go from getting a portion of what God has for us to getting the fullness of what God wants for us. Because I believe that that's the 90% difference. Because if the enemy can convince you that Judah is enough, what are you going to do with the adversaries? You see, the adversaries stop picking on you when you give up. Wow. So we're going to look today at just a few ways that we can at least give every effort to making sure that we take hold of Israel. Amen? Israel is what God has for us. And Israel just represents the fullness of the call that God has on your life. The extent of your potential. Just put your hand on your heart and shut your eyes and say, my potential is infinite. My potential is infinite. My potential is great. Lord, do what you need to do. That I may fulfill every potential. In Jesus' mighty name. And put your hands together for Jesus if you agree with that prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, no sooner had the songs of celebration started in the camps of Judah, there was a but. And I'm just going to read 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 4. And it's not that. 2 Samuel. I wonder if it's chapter 2 and verse 8. Yes, just a few verses later. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. And you know, so often when there are adversaries, let me give you one way of spotting when it's an adversary. There's a but. Right. How many of you have had some buts in your life? All going well and then there's a but. Listen, do not be discouraged by the buts. Do not give up when you see a but. Hallelujah. It says but. Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And it says he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. You see, what the enemy wants to do is the moment he sees a sign of breakthrough in your life, he wants to smash something in your face. He wants to confront you with a weakness that you haven't yet overcome. He wants to confront you with somebody who is opposing you, who's being cruel to you, who's discouraging you. The moment there is a sign of breakthrough, the enemy is seeking to come against you. Because he does not want you and I to succeed. He wants us to fail. Nudge your neighbor and say, the devil wants you to fail. But nudge them again and say, but God is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? You see, we need to be ever conscious that we're at war, that there's contention, that there are things going on all around us. Because if we lose a sense of that, then these adversaries will just discourage us. You know, I shared a little bit last week about my recent trip to the US as part of the launch of my book, 30 Day Detox for Your Soul. And my second trip was awesome, but it was full of adversaries. I mean, you name it, it happened. Cabs didn't turn up that were booked, you know, which put me 20 minutes late on my way to TV studios. Flights were delayed. People made mistakes. Storms broke out that stopped people attending conferences. Adversaries. But turn to your neighbor and say, God is greater.
God is greater.
Hallelujah. You see, if the adversaries can get us down, then we'll often be distracted from what God wants us to do. If we take our eyes off the promise and start to place it on the adversaries, then so often we fall short of everything God has for us. So here is David, and I want us to look at two particular keys that if we will develop these, then I believe that we're a long way towards really fulfilling it all. I mean, I want to have it all. How many of you want to do everything Jesus has called you to do? You want to fulfill the whole deal. Amen? Well, I'm going to give you two keys that are going to help you. And turn to your neighbor and say, G up. Because we're going to look at two G's. Hallelujah. And it's grit and gratitude. And I'm going to start with gratitude. Can we please have Zechariah 4 verse 10 in the New Living Translation? Zechariah 4 verse 10 in the New Living Translation. You see, that's where the scripture says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. You see, our attitude towards the cloud the size of a man's hand, our attitude towards knowing we've only got 1/12, our attitude towards something happening, but it not being the dream. Are you hearing me? You see, the Bible says, do not despise these small beginnings. You know, I want to encourage you right now, look at your life. Look at the little things that God's done, the little breakthroughs, the little areas where it's just given you that sense, yes, God's with me. And right now, just say, I am grateful. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God does not want us to despise the day when just something small happens. You know, I remember a day when, as a team of women, years back, about 10 years ago, we'd put on an evangelistic event, and I was believing God for 100 souls to be saved. And when 15 ladies gave their life to the Lord, I was just gutted. Until God said, you know what? Heaven is resounding. Because, and it's resounding 15 times over. Hallelujah. And you know, if I hadn't been believing God for 100, it probably would have been 5. Are you hearing me? Look, it's all right to dream big, but when it comes through in measure, give God all the glory. Hallelujah. You see, it says, the Lord rejoices. Say that word, rejoices. This isn't you and me. This is God looking down and seeing that business that you've begun. That's God looking down and seeing you step out as a cell leader. That's God watching from heaven and seeing you say, do you know what? I'm going to go out as part of the evangelism team. Even though no one gave their life to Jesus that day. God's looking over from heaven and rejoicing because you took a step. Because you chose to rise up. Hallelujah. He rejoices with you. I want us to look at Colossians 3 verse 15. Colossians 3 verse 15. Do you know something that's been just whirring around my heart recently? Is this statement. Attitude is not everything, but it's everything else. Shall I say that again? Attitude is not everything, but it's everything else. What do I mean? You see, I believe that your attitude towards the adversaries, your attitude towards the ups, but also the downs, your attitudes towards the difficulties, the delays, the postponements, your attitude towards the fact that you've been really believing and you thought this was the year, but it still hasn't happened. Your attitude is one of the things that makes the difference. You know, several years ago, I'd been in Pittsburgh, and I was traveling back, and I had become really, really unwell towards the end of this trip. This was about 3 years ago. And I reached the airport in Pittsburgh feeling terrible. And I'm sitting there in the departure lounge, and I'm watching the weather outside, and fog is just heavily coming down. And by this point, because I was feeling it, I just wanted to be home. You know, can I just shatter this weird idea that I had it before. Do you know, international ministry is not glamorous. It's not. And where's Dave Morgan? Can you just testify? International ministry is not glamorous. It's something we choose to do because we love Jesus. I mean, Dave had this amazing cab ride with a cab driver that didn't know the way to the hotel, charged him about 3-4 times what it should have been, ended up using his own sat nav to get there. He's on the phone to me about every 5 minutes while I'm trying to sleep. So we were both having our own little, you know, international ministry is not glamorous. I'm sitting at Pittsburgh Airport and I'm watching the delays, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And then suddenly it reaches the point where I think I'm going to miss my connection. And sure enough, it reached the point where I was not going to catch that connecting flight at JFK. This dream about New York seemed very, very, very... I've always had this dream about New York. And I'm now going to be overnight in New York, feeling really ill, lying on 4. I had to sleep because I was shivering now with fever. Really cold. This was in February. If you know the US, those states in February, it's freezing. Turn to your neighbor and go... And I'm pushing these 4 hard chairs together because all the soft ones had gone. And I'm putting my purse, my handbag under my head so that it doesn't get nicked. You know, doing my best to just get some rest. Shivering all night long, feeling terrible. Eventually got flight the following morning. My luggage hadn't made it. Eventually I get back home. But what I want to tell you about was as I sat in Pittsburgh before this night began, I just knew in my heart that nothing was allowed to leave my heart. Say heart. It's not just about what comes out of your lips. You might pierce your lips and smile when someone's winding you up, but on the inside you're saying, you stupid. Beep, beep, beep. Amen. Say, the Lord is concerned with my heart. You see, I remember I sat in Pittsburgh, and as I saw the delays starting to appear, I knew that the only thing that could come out of my heart that night was gratitude and worship. Gratitude and worship. Let me tell you, gratitude will save you so much upset. You see, when you get your 12th of the promise, if you're so filled with gratitude to God that he would even consider blessing you, then all the upset about the other 93% won't be your preoccupation. You see, our attitude in these situations, honestly and truthfully, I think one of the biggest differentiators between someone who's mature, how many of you want to be mature? Yes. And those who are still babes in Christ. And we have to love babes and nurture them. But it's how we respond to tough times. Yes. It's whether we cry like a baby. And you know, you all know I'm all for crying at the right times. But that night in Pittsburgh and JFK, I wasn't crying, I was worshiping. Are you hearing the difference? You see, if we can just in those moments when we're disappointed, when it's all gone horribly wrong, if we will instead allow gratitude to come up from the inside. And do you know what? Do you know one of the adversaries that the enemy will try and use again and again? It's pride. And you know, it's very humble to be grateful when it's not what you really wanted. It's very humble to just say, well, I'm just so glad to have a bit of what I really want. And I'm going to treasure that bit. If you treasure the little that you've got, God will give you more. Because he'll see you've got the heart that he can use. He'll see you've got the heart that he can trust. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is such a key. Stuff all goes wrong. What do you do? It's either the panic or the whinge or the worry. Or it can be, I'm going to keep my peace. I'm going to keep my peace. You know, even on my way to El Paso, this latest trip, from Miami, both my flights, because it's two flights, it's literally flying three quarters of the way across America, both my flights were delayed. And I just would not allow the enemy to have my peace. He's not having my peace. Jesus paid for my peace on the cross. He paid a high price. So I'm not giving it away for nothing. Are you hearing me? And I'm seeing the delays. And then, you see, in the midst, if you keep your peace, if you keep your heart right, full of gratitude rather than full of grumbling, do you know he'll give you favor beyond measure? You know, and I suddenly found this air steward. And I said, look, I still think there's a chance I might catch that earlier flight. I've already been booked onto the other one. Is there anything you can do to help? Now, most, excuse this, but American Airlines stewards aren't that helpful compared to some other airlines. And this man just said, let me see what I can do. Not only did he change my ticket, he went down to the luggage rail himself. He found my cases, not knowing what they looked like. He re-tagged them, relabeled them, got them on the earlier flight and came up to me and said, Mrs. Norton, I've done it for you. You see, when we keep our hearts right, then God has room to work for us. So I'm really excited, but then that flight's delayed too. And I'm sitting there thinking, I know what the enemy's plan is now. He's going to want to keep my suitcases. So I said, for a start, you can't have them. Amen. Amen. But secondly, if you try, I don't care. Because I'll preach in my jeans and t-shirt if I have to. Hallelujah. Never put your sword. You're not allowed weapons to go in luggage. I'll just leave it at that. All the people in the house who understand what I'm saying, always keep your weapons. Always keep your sword in your hand luggage. Then you're ready, whatever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it says, if we can just have Psalm 131 and verse 2, it says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Listen, I want to encourage you. Learn to calm your soul. You see, Jesus gave us a pattern when he spoke to the storm. He said, peace, be still. You know, even on that same trip, I eventually reached El Paso, and I was sent to the wrong luggage rack with the cases going round, and then they've all gone. I'm thinking, well, mine should have come out first, and they hadn't. So I said, are you sure there's no other luggage rails? So we go to the next one. There's my cases just sitting there all the way, you know, going round, just my two lonely cases. So we got them, got to the hotel. The key cards didn't work to the room. Are you hearing me? Attitude. You know, and the lady with me was just, I am so sorry. And I said, it's all well. It's all well. Be that one that when someone else is even panicking on your behalf, that you can say, it's fine. It's well. We're coming through. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm just going to quickly talk about grit. Do you remember I said gratitude and grit? If you're going to finish your course, if you're going to win the race that's set before you, if you're going to fulfill your potential and be all that God destined you to be before the foundation of the earth, you're going to need to learn to deal with your attitude, and you're going to learn to need to endure. Gratitude and grit. You see, it says endure hardship. Turn to your neighbor and say, endure.
Endure.
We've got to be able to just say, times are tough, but so what? You know what? I've had no sleep. You see, again, international travel is not glamorous. You know, getting to bed at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, because, of course, after ministering, people look after you, take you out, you eat something at crazy hours and come back feeling like a huge blob. So you have to run a lot when you get back home. Are you hearing me? Look after your bodies. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, and then a couple of hours later, having to get up. But you see, we've just got to endure hardship. Like a good soldier, when times are tough. I love a scripture I learned by heart age 15. I'll never forget a bunch of us at the Dales Bible Conventions. They were awesome. None of you will know about that. In the north of England, I'm sure June does. Bryn Jones, a glorious move of God. And we all sat in a caravan, bunch of 15-year-olds, learning. Consider it pure joy. Why did we choose to learn this? Amazing. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work, that you may be mature. Say mature. And complete, not lacking anything. You see, for us to really take Israel, we need to mature. We need to grow up. We need to reach that place where we're willing to say, do you know what? No matter what it takes, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what it takes, I'm going to give God some praise. No matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to thank him for the last thing that he's already done for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know, just this morning, the presence of God was so sweet. Abby, as you were leading worship in the prayer meeting, my goodness, I felt that my heart was going to burst with the presence of God. And I just suddenly started to think over the last 15 to 20 years. You know, God has sent someone to you to perfect you, to work on your character, to bring about a transformation on the inside of you. He's sent someone to you because he's faithful, so I know he has. There'll be two or three, but you know they're in your life to train you, to equip you, to build you up. Do you know, I was just so grateful to God today, just thanking God that the person he sent to me was this man, my husband. And I was just looking back at the different times when he told me off.
Oh, yes.
When I needed a telling off. When he corrected me. When I needed correcting. The times when he just loved me when I needed loving. The times when he believed in me when I was a bit wobbly. But you see, without submitting to the process, are you hearing me? Unless we submit our hearts fully to the process of transformation, we won't come out the other side. The number of times when I'm just thinking, my God, this peace I enjoy. And you see, it's not because my life is all a bed of roses. I can go to places where they're mean and nasty to me. You know, where I'm treated badly. But when there's a peace on the inside, when you've learned to calm and quiet your soul, when you've learned to be grateful anyway, when you've learned to say, God, I'm just going to worship you irrespective of what's going on. Do you know the final outcome? Is not only do we reach that place where we can possess Israel, but we live life with this peace and with this joy. And we don't scare away, scare's the wrong word. We don't quench the spirit so easily. So we're sensing his presence day in, day out. And, you know, wherever we go, it's just like this wonderful feeling of God's presence, but it's embracing the process. I want to encourage you today, as I finish, I want to read to you the end of the story for David. You see, while he was ruling Judah, he fought the good fight. He endured hardship. He embraced the process. And in 2 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, now there was a long war. What kind of war?
A long war.
Are you hearing that? We want quick fixes. We want instant turnarounds. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Now, this is the kind of butt that I like. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a good butt. And that good butt is coming after you. It's a good job we all know that I'm not talking about behinds. But, say but, David grew stronger and stronger. Say that again, but David grew stronger and stronger. Say it again, but David grew stronger and stronger. It was the very process of war. It was the very presence of adversaries. It was the very fact that he had his downs as well as his ups that meant that David was ready for his day of destiny. Hallelujah. Let me read when it all came to pass. If you just put up 2 Samuel 5 from verse 1. You see, 7.5 years after David was made king of Judah, which is probably about 22 or 23 years after the promise was given, there was a day that dawned. And it said, then all the tribes of Israel, say all.
All.
You're going to have your all if you'll embrace the process. Hallelujah. Then all. Say all.
All.
All the tribes of Israel came to David. He didn't have to chase after his destiny. He didn't have to go running after the leader saying, please come and let me be your king. Because God did it. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Verse 2. Also, in the time past, you know, suddenly they remember the word. You know when you want them to remember the word? They haven't got a clue. Then, but at the right time, they'll remember that word over you. At the right time, they'll promote you. At the right time, opportunity will knock. When you're ready to open the door, when your character has been sufficiently developed that you can keep what God's given you. Hallelujah. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out. And you brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Verse 3. Therefore. Say therefore.
Therefore.
You see, what we do creates the therefore. Say that. What I do creates the therefore. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant, and at the end, and they anointed David king over Israel. Give praise to Jesus for his word. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just shut your eyes. Father, I want to thank you that the mandate that you have over every person is great. That the destiny to which you've called each person is phenomenal. Father, I pray that every obstacle that has been in the way, every issue of attitude, every area where you want us to grow up and mature, Father, would you do that work on the inside? If you're saying this morning, and I know you're going to have to say it again and again, but in your heart right now, you're saying, I want to submit to the process of preparation. Just lift up your hands high in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, Father, you see your sons and daughters across this place. Father, I pray that just as you gave me one who stood by me and believed you and believed in me, as you gave me someone who corrected and trained, Lord, I pray for each one that we would have not only a person, but Holy Spirit, do your will in us. Father, I pray for soft hearts that will hear your voice, that will not resist, but will hear. Father, I pray that you'd soften each one of our hearts, that we'd be quick to hear, quick to listen, and quick to do what the Spirit of the Lord instructs. Father, I speak your blessing over each one in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just as we remain in the presence of God, just shut your eyes one more minute. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus, he's not yet your best friend, the one that leads your life. If you haven't yet given him the reins of everything and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? If that's you, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow him. Just lift up your hand high so I can see. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing over each one. I pray that you would continue that work of maturation in each of us. And Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen.